Donna Rail remains the biggest outsider to ever win the Run for the Roses. In the race itself, Donna Rail came from off the pace to swoop late and win by just half a length at odds of 91-1. It's the one I was talking about earlier. He continues to hold the title as the longest shot to win the Kentucky Derby. So you are.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Interest of the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Ville Chillin' Podcast. Today, we are continuing with day two of our 7 days of Derby.
Two times.
So, if you missed it, check out yesterday's video where we talked about the history of the Derby, some of the pricing of the Derby, which is a little out there, and then also went over our picks for the Derby and who is going to win. Obviously, it's going to be resilient, not endlessly.
Endlessly, number seven, dude. He never, like, he's just going to keep going round and round, dude.
No.
He lapping them.
Not going to happen. Anyways, for today's episode, we wanted to talk about some of the more controversial derbies, whether it was upsets or, you know, horses failing drug tests after winning.
Druggy horses, dude. Like, that's... You talk about the cocaine bear and fucking and steroid horses. Like, Kentucky goes hard. Like, we don't stop.
For sure. For sure. It's a serious sport, man. It's the older. I mean, it's older than Kentucky. If you don't know, now you know. And find out more information by watching our last episode.
History of Kentucky.
or History Derby. Of the Derby. Yes. Oh, man. So we're going to start it off, like I said, with the biggest upsets in Kentucky Derby history, because I think that's kind of fascinating because, you know, obviously, as with any betting goes, betting sports go, you know, you almost always, most people go for the favorable odds, and that's how those odds keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. More people think that horse is going to win. And so there have been some crazy odds. We saw last time in our last episode that the highest odds difference was like 91-1 or something. Those are some crazy odds. Back in 1992, Lil E.T.
No way.
That's what it says. So
he could have a rap album.
The horse was tipped to be a superstar in the making and was the odds-on favorite after his biggest rival, AP Indy, was scratched earlier in the week.
We're talking about horses right now. This sounds like a rap battle. Okay, keep it going.
So Lil E.T. wasn't even considered to have much racing potential as a yearling, but he proved the doubters wrong when it mattered underneath the Twin Spires. Came with the challenge off the pace and stunned the world by winning by half a length.
Little E.T. R.I.P., bro.
The payout for Little E.T.'s win was $35.60. Wow.
What?
Does that mean only like one person actually bet on him? That can't be right, right? Or maybe that's, I don't know.
Is that like the payout. I thought it was the winnings. I thought this horse got paid $35 to win the Derby. I'm like, dude, they ripped him off. Like, they over here middlemaning him. Little E.T., phone home. Like, what the F?
Yeah, not quite. They had to have paid him more than that. I mean, oh, it was 92.
$35, that was shit.
I think we learned in the last episode that in 96, they upped it to $1 million. So they had to be paying out good money.
Okay, but yeah, $35, that's not a bad ticket for like a bet,
you know, yeah. Just placing a bet. Oh, man. Giacomo in 2005. 2005 Kentucky Derby was another story of a poor performance from a favorite, this time Bellamy Road. Bellamy Road was sent off 5-2 after winning 4 of his 5 races up to that point, including the Wood Memorial Stakes in New York. He came in 7th in the Derby in 2005. The finish was throwing battle between two outsiders, which that already puts you at the worst odds of actually winning, right? Because if you're on the outside of the circle, you technically have more track to run. So Giacomo was 50-1 odds, and his only win was in a maiden race before the Derby, while Closing Argument had 70-1 odds. Giacomo didn't start well, and after three quarters of a mile was 18th of the 20 runners, but he started making ground at the turn, had to navigate plenty of traffic up the straight, and when the gap did open, he flew through and won by half a length. That just shows, kind of like we were talking about last time, I think it was Secretariat.
He's holding back.
Yeah, they like, do. Like, they gain momentum as they run.
Dude, these horses over here fixing the races, they're like, yeah, dude, I just suck.
The payout for his win was $102.60. And that's got to be like per dollar bet maybe or something. I don't know. I don't gamble. So maybe probably, somebody can let us know in the comments. I wonder if
anyone's like letting us know like the inflation rate or
whatever. This was in 2005, so it hasn't changed that much since then. Like, surely people are getting more money for this if it's like that. If it's a short odd, like a really bad odds, and they bet and the horse wins, like, they got to get more than that. Unless somebody just bet a dollar on it. Like, I don't know. Maybe somebody in the comments can let us know, because we obviously don't know shit about gambling.
Yeah, at all.
No. Especially horse racing. I can play roulette. Always bet on red for the cards.
Dude. Go cards.
So, in 2019, Country House, it was at the 145th Kentucky Derby, might have been one of the most controversial ever. The second favorite, Maximum Security, crossed the line first, but there was a shocking twist to come. The jockeys of Country House and Long Range Teddy both objected to the result, and the steward's decision was called. It took 22 minutes, but eventually the stewards decided that Maximum Security veered out into War of Will, who consequently impeded Long Range Toddy. Wait, one says Toddy, one says Teddy. Which one's right? We're going to have to figure that out. Then interfered with other horses, who ended up hitting Country House. Maximum Security had corrected himself and gone on to win, clearly from Country House, but that domino effect from his swerve would come back to haunt him. He was the first and only Derby winning horse to be disqualified for an infraction in the race, and Country House was given the roses at odds of 65-1.
Teddy over here cheating.
Or is it Toddy?
Teddy Toddy, a cheater, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, allegedly, I don't know.
Allegedly, no, it's not alleged. The steward said so.
Oh, okay. Well,
they basically the judge, jury, and I'm not gonna say the third one. And the payout was $132.40 in 2009.
RIP eight bills.
We'll get to that later. 2009. Mind That Bird. These horses, man. The names. This running of the Kentucky Derby was so shocking, they made a movie about it. And when Hollywood is involved, you know it has to be a good story. It's got to be a lot of drama. Nobody saw Mind That Bird coming, not even the NBC broadcaster, who almost completely missed the winner as he was busy describing the battle between Pioneer of the Nile and Musket Man in second and third. Mind That Bird was eight lengths off the field at the gates after a poor start. But jockey Calvin Borrell used his ground-saving technique tight on the rail to bring Mind That Bird back into contention. He exploded after the final turn and shot up the rail to not only win at huge odds, but win by 6 3/4 lengths, the biggest winning margin in more than 60 years, which we talked about the largest winning margin in the last episode. So if you want to know what the longest or the largest margin anyone's won by, or any of the horses have won by, check out that last episode. 6 3/4 lengths. That's a long. That's a big length.
The other horses just gave up. Like, they were just like, eh, we're good.
You know,
we'll get them next year.
I watch a lot of car stuff, and I'm just thinking of drag racing. And if somebody wins by 6 3/4 cars, like, the person losing shut the car off a long time ago. They just didn't even bother. They only go a quarter mile.
Oh, well, never mind.
These horses are going, you know, a mile and a half, a mile and a quarter. So that's wild. The story was made into the 2014 film 50-1, and the Mind That Bird entered the Canadian Racing Hall of Fame a year later. The payout for that one was $103.20. And then our last one, Donnerail. There's no YouTube footage of this one. If you're watching the video, you could see that most of these have YouTube footage to actually show the races. However, this one was in 1913. The number one biggest upset was in 1913. It says the biggest shock of them all is more than 100 years old and remains an unbelievable result. Ridden by Roscoe Goose and trained by Thomas P. Hayes, Donnerail remains the biggest outsider to ever win the Run for the Roses. In the race itself, Donerail came from off the pace to swoop late and win by just half a length at odds of 91-1. It's the one I was talking about earlier. He continues to hold the title as the longest shot to win the Kentucky Derby. So you are right. That was the long shot.
So, okay. Yeah, I get them mixed up again. But, hey,
yeah, we don't gamble.
and that's crazy, too, though, because, like, it seems like he almost went there drunk, you know, like he got some bourbon. Nobody thought he was going to win, like, and he nailed it. Go Donerail.
Yeah. And the win paid out an astronomical $184.90. Surely that cannot be how much was paid out in 1913, right?
Wait, what?
No, it is. Yeah. Just a $2 bet. Somebody won $184.90 on a $2 bet.
Dude, that drunken horse was like crypto back in the day. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people that were like, nah, dude, get some Doge, you know,
back in 1913.
That was Donerail, dude. Like, that was the old school Doge.
That's wild. Donner. Man, that's pretty crazy to think back then, just a $2 bet. I really wonder if that was adjusted for inflation or something, because...
Which even $2 was probably a lot to bet back then.
That's what I'm saying, because all these others are in the hundreds, and I'm like, okay, I was born after all these races. Like, I understand those couple of dollars, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But 1913, that's...
And again, like, guys, we don't know anything about... Barely anything about... inflation or betting. So if anybody has any idea what half of what we're talking about, yeah, definitely let us know in the comments and correct us.
yeah, we don't know, but we're always willing to learn, that's for sure. But man, that's pretty wild. I'm actually astounded by that. Anyways, to move it along a little bit into the more controversial issues of the Derby.
Druggy horses.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dope horses, man. Dude, they need to quit doping up, dude. Like,
you know, you gotta win by all means necessary, right? So this article came out in 2022, but back in the 2021 Derby, Medina Spirit won, but ended up being stripped of the Kentucky Derby title due to a positive drug test. And this is one that continues to be controversial, because the trainer after this one, Bob Baffert, who had trained two Triple Crown winning horses in 2015 and 2018, was banned from the Derby for a couple years, and they've actually just been extending it. I saw recently that they've been appealing it. They tried to appeal it to be able to get their horse in for this year's Derby. They tried to appeal last year and it was denied. And I think there was at one point the ban was extended for one reason or another.
It was probably just creatine.
Well, I mean, it says what it is. Beta methazone.
I don't think that's creatine.
Is that horse meth?
Dude, they're giving them horse meth.
It says it's a steroid, but it says meth right in the name.
Dude, that's gonna be the next pre-workout.
It's legal in Kentucky, but banned on race day.
Wait, so, what? On race day?
On race day. So you can use it to train, but you can't give it to them on race day.
Okay, that's a technicality, dude. I don't even know.
No. It's just like MMA fighters. Like, half
you
of
can't
them...
You can't do steroids the day before?
Well, yeah, you can't do steroids the day before because it's going to show up. And that's what they mean, because they take a drug, they take a sample to test on race day. They take a sample to test on fight day. Yeah, they just don't get the results back same day.
That's not the horse's fault. Its metabolism sucks. Okay, he did the steroids yesterday. Okay.
It's not the horse's fault he was given drugs either.
Well, if it was on training day, it'd be all good. It'd be all kosher, okay? Or whatever. But
and it's the same rings true for fighters. Ask John Jones. Oh, man. He might have done a little meth, too. Who knows?
Horse meth.
Been busted for any other thing. So, anyways, on to the horse racing.
Allegedly?
No, it was proven.
Not the meth.
No, that just one was the beating. That one was...
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to edit a lot of stuff. I don't even know...
Anyways, yeah, so Bob Baffert is still banned, even though this article is from 2022. I saw something recently that he was banned from 2024 as well. And just to double check myself, he is, oh, come on, ads. Oh, come on, they haven't even given it to us. When was this? April 15th. Okay, so they're actually still, it's still in the courts, and Judge Mitch Perry is planning to decide the end of the week we're recording this. So I guess by the time you're actually watching this, the news will be out, but we don't know yet as a, you know, when he is, or if he is going to be allowed to run or not.
Dude, that sounds like some like wrestling type, like, storytelling, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
will he, like,
will he, yeah, he's hurt, will he show up?
We don't know. Like Vince McMahon, like, used to like always throw these like little side or whatever, like, and then Austin would come out of nowhere, dude. Like,
they'll let him run,
yep,
and then like right afterwards they'll be like, oh, it was illegal.
Hey, and there was the Hulk Hogan steroid trial. I mean, it all connects, dude, like, for sure. It all relates.
How many other sports are we going to bring into horse racing? We've already done drag racing, wrestling, and MMA. I mean, we said, did we say go cards earlier too? I think we did. Roulette, yeah. We're on it.
Dude, I'm blanking, but fucking.
Anyways, on to the last controversy to really talk about. And it's a little bit of a sad one, but we couldn't really talk about this topic without bringing up the 8 Bells sad story. So 8 Bells was an American thoroughbred racehorse who came second in the 2008 Kentucky Derby. And just after the race, the horse collapsed. It resulted in immediate euthanasia in front of however many people. A lot. And it was a big deal. PETA was all over it, trying to blame the jockey. They ended up finding that both legs were broken at the joint, or there were fractures at the joints, and fluid in the lungs, which is horribly sad.
Dude, but it won, right?
Second place. Which is still crazy.
It's crazy, beat, dude. It's kind of like that show, like that movie. You know, if you're not first, you're last.
In Talladega Nights.
Yeah. So, and he was he came in second, but he was last.
Shake him and bake him.
I'm sorry. R.I.P. But he got 700,000 for it.
Well, the owner, jockey, trainer got 700,000. The horse definitely did not, unfortunately, and that it really is horrible. It's the sadder side to horse racing. You know, it happens in a lot of sports. You know, going back to the drag racing, there have been, just this year, there have been a couple of really popular pioneers of, like, not pioneers necessarily, but big names in the sport who have passed because car loses traction and ends up in a wall or whatever, flips, rolls, fire start, you know. I mean, just this past weekend at the Formula Drift, they were doing the media day, and one of the driver's cars caught on fire. He didn't die. They got out, thankfully, but there's in-car footage of the car catching on fire, and it's crazy, you know? And, I mean, yes, the difference is those people are putting themselves in the position, whereas these horses don't really have much of a choice, but it's sad all around, and it's a sad part of the sport. But yeah, it's
And it's dangerous for the you know, the jockey sometimes too.
Yeah, if a jockey gets thrown off, man, those horses aren't stopping.
Yeah, I mean, they are closer to the ground than, you know, other people sometimes. But like, I mean, like Superman fell off. Like, what is
leave the short kings alone, dude?
What was Superman? R.I.P. Superman. Christopher effing Reeves. How do you not know what I'm talking about? Okay, we'll play that part. Yeah, dude, like, even Superman, dude, fell off a horse and got paralyzed, dude. So it's a dangerous sport. Like, Christopher Reeves, man, RIP.
It can happen to anybody. I mean, dude, that's, you know, it's, like I said, it's just part of the sport. It's sad. It's not a common part of the sport. but it is part of it. At least they do the right thing. They don't make the horse suffer. Because when something like that happens, it is pretty devastating.
And RIP 8 Bells.
RIP. So I think with that, that's going to kind of finish up our controversial Kentucky Derbies episode, unless you got anything else.
Let's not end it on like a dead horse.
Well, what do you want to end it on?
The prices, man. That's very controversial.
I mean, yeah, that's controversial.
We can go back to that. Too. I know we touched on it last time, but dude, what is it, like $130 just to get in there and then drunken, you know, like...
$130 for the infield where you're going to get beer spilled all over you and who knows what's going to happen, fights or who knows.
What they need to do is turn like the outside of the Derby into an event, dude. Make it like a concert or something. I don't know. Just make it a little bit more, you know, inclusive for like the working class or whatever versus like you got to like...
Yeah, because I mean, that's like... weekend concert passes crisis, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like we're gonna this isn't louder than life, you know what I'm saying? Like this is if we get the Derby every year, so if you're local or whatever, it seems like it'd be cool to have something more geared towards that versus like you're gonna save your money for like the louder than life tickets or something like that, things that are new acts that you don't see every year. Yep. Versus something like this.
Or the new Jack Harlow Gazebo Fest. You know, dude, what I'm saying?
$300
It's two something now, yeah. But yeah, I mean, even then, just after the infield, just to go up a little bit and try to get somewhat better tickets, you're looking at over $600 just to be able to have like reserve seating and stuff.
Yeah, that's not counting the hats, dude. The hats are expensive.
Right. And then you can go all the way up to hundreds of thousands of dollars for a suite. The private suites. Winner's Circle Suites are it doesn't even give you the price. You have to contact sales department.
Oh, that's how you know. That's how you know it's expensive.
Exactly.
That's like when you go to a restaurant or whatever, and they don't put the prices there. Like that. Okay, yeah.
You might as well leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Finish Line Suites are $295,000 for the suite. So, yeah. Oh man.
Let me just put on my tab, bro. Yeah, we're good.
Like, concierge. Hey,
Dino.
Dedicated full-time service contact. Yeah, upscale
Okay, that's amenities. Pretty cool, though. So, like, you're getting...
Upscale amenities include private restrooms and kitchenette area within each suite, as well as dedicated windows and additional amenities shared amongst the Finish Line suites only. Maybe that's $300,000. That's more than a lot of people make in a year.
That's probably like for like the you know, the millionaires and the princes and
that's the millionaires kings, row, I assume. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, is it above millionaires row?
No, it's right there on the third floor, Finish Line Suites. So I guess millionaires row is like sixth floor or something. I don't know. I think we'll end it here, unless you got anything else to add.
It's about as controversial as it gets. I think next time we'll probably lighten it up a little bit with what is it, like celebrities or something?
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely lighten the topics up.
Yep. A little bubblegum.
But, you know, we gave all the history. In a way, the controversies are just an extension of the history, and it should be pretty positive from here on out.
Endlessly, dude. Number seven, endlessly. It's never going to end, dude.
You know what it takes to be endless? Resilience. Resilience is going to win. So with that, we will see y'all next time. Make sure to place your bets for resilience. I'm calling it now, and we will see y'all next time.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Put all your bets there so that when number seven wins, then I make more money. Go ahead, yeah.
You ain't betting anyways. We already said we don't gamble.
Okay, but if I did, though, I'd win.
We will see you guys tomorrow.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Interest of the greater good. We need to smoke a joint and calm down.
Fallen ace to prove that I'm great. And if you keep talking jive, I'm going to cut it to five.